the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to GIF. Thank God it's Friday. Hi, Christina.
Thank God it's Friday. Welcome, Father.
I thought you guys were practicing upstairs. I just saw your dad, so he was going up.
We're going to sing tomorrow.
Choir. Right, right.
Yes.
So, anyway, what do they call it? The ribbon blessing and passing
for the
on the torch for graduation for the kids that graduate next week, the eighth graders. Tony's on his way, so then we'll pray. Get ready for Pentecost. And
it's that time of the year.
It is that time of year. And this will bring an end to the Easter season.
That's so. Right.
Thank you.
Did we get settled here? Yes.
You sort of rushed in, too. I knocked this thing over.
Yeah. I was just here sitting, and nobody's here.
I've done that so many times.
Well, I was in the vault. I was talking. Everything was quiet upstairs in the rectory, and we had the ceremony for the eighth grade time. So that's everything's kind of wrapping up, and they have a nice week next week. They go to Great America, and they have every day something different going on.
I remember that.
You remember that? Did you go to Great America?
I don't think I went to Great America, but we did something. I don't even remember what it was, but the years after, you hear the stories.
I went to Great America.
I did, too. I when I got here as a young priest, I went with the eighth graders.
Great America.
I'll never forget, we went on the... Sister Lupita and I went. We were the chaperones.
I remember her, sister.
So we went on the...
The demon or the...
No, it was...
The eagle?
I don't like anything that spins. It was one of those roller coasters, but it was with water. I'm just not big into that kind of stuff, but...
The logs or...
Yeah, I guess it was the logs
the
or whatever.
Logs,
and they take
yeah.
pictures of you.
Yeah.
So after it's all done, we're watching... And I was... At that time, I was about 36 years old, maybe. And... So they, everybody's, the kids are all, because as you're going down the thing,
right.
they take pictures and you can see yourself.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And then all these kids, they all look so great and young and uh-huh. all that. And then all of a sudden, there comes Sister Lupita and I. We were sitting next to each other, and we left these two old people there in the midst of all these young people. But
some of those pictures are funny. They're hilarious.
I'm thinking of two things. When's the last time you were at Great America, the last
that
time.
That was probably the last time.
Exactly. That's what I think about it. Yeah. I don't think I've been to Great America for years.
Yeah, I didn't even know. So.
But I keep thinking about the spaghetti incident.
Oh, did you?
Oh, when you were wearing
the
white shorts?
That's the first thing.
I'll tell you that real quick. So,
yeah, you should.
This is a friend of mine. We were going to, this is before I entered the seminary, and right. she was going into the convent. And so there was a group of, of friends. So we went to her house and her mother prepared a nice spaghetti dinner, with red sauce. And it just happened that from there we went to the amusement park,
right.
Which is like a Great America on the beach.
Which is also a great idea. Which was also a great
right.
idea.
Yeah. So I was wearing, I was, 21 years old?
Yeah.
So I was wearing a white shirt and white shorts and white socks and white
everything
tennis
white.
Shoes. Everything white. Completely
preparing.
White. So the guy, he was a seminarian who was working then in the parish. Mm-hmm. He was wearing an orange shirt, orange shorts, and I don't know what kind of, but he was all in orange.
Orange.
And Debbie, who was entering the convent, there were sort of the three of us in the car, right. And it was
the ride,
the Ferris wheel. And she, so we're in the Ferris wheel. We got it stopped, and we were on the top.
Oh, at the top.
And
yeah.
and we were
swinging
back and forth, back and forth. And she said, I don't feel too good. She said, I'm really getting sick and nauseous. And so all of a sudden, I'm gonna throw up. And so she was taking everything out of her purse and giving it to Rich,
right?
The Kasparic, who was the seminarian. He was on her right side. I was on her left side. And wouldn't you know it? So she gets all the stuff out of her purse, but she throws up not on him,
who's wearing orange,
on me,
on you, white.
So you know people.
Oh my!
And when we get to the, I mean, so I was just covered in vomit, you know, and spaghetti sauce and all that kind of stuff.
It was just,
when we got down, when they got us down there. People said they thought popcorn was coming.
Oh.
And then we get out, and she was complete, and then she felt fine, and she was clean as clean can be,
goes.
And he was clean as be, and so they probably thought I was the one that
had an accident.
Sick. Yeah. You remember that. I had completely forgotten about that.
There was when we were in eighth grade, and we went to Enchanted Forest.
Yeah,
Enchanted Forest, Tony? And we got on this ride that goes, twirls around, it goes up, and one of my friends, Yolanda, Christmas was her last name.
Oh, I see.
Remember
her all the time.
Yolanda?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yes, we were in the same class, and she got on the ride, and you know, usually when you sit down, you look before you sit down. She sat down, and we're on the ride. Then we got on, and I'm like, "What happened, Yolanda?" Somebody had an act, threw up, and she sat on the. Didn't look and said it was all, oh, man.
I can picture Yolanda.
Yolanda, she's hilarious.
She is so funny.
She's a character.
I see her a lot.
Because her sister, I met her sister. She has a sister. I didn't know her sister.
Well, her family, they've got generations of people who went to our school.
Yes.
And so there's still family members in the school.
Yes.
But she, I saw her not too long ago. And she's a character.
Funny. She's a character.
Funny as funny can be.
She's very, very joyful, and she has
always joyful.
Joyful, and she does have this faith.
Because
she's always posting.
Yeah, she really does. Yeah, if you see her, tell her I said
I would.
tell her she kind of disappeared on us, you know, because she was coming around a lot, and then I probably saw her maybe about 2 months ago, as I was leaving for Rochester, and yeah. So anyway. Well, we should pray.
Yes.
We didn't pray yesterday, and because we have the Feast of Pentecost.
It's coming up.
It's coming.
It's Sunday.
Sunday. Where are my prayers? Okay. So we'll do the Novena Prayer to the Holy Spirit. We'll begin with the chaplet, though. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen, or rather the Angelus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived with the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And we pray, O Holy Spirit, our God, we adore thee and acknowledge here in thy divine presence that we are nothing and can do nothing without thee. Come, great Paraclete, thou father of the poor, thou comforter, the best. Fulfill the promise of our blessed Savior, who would not leave us orphans, and come into the mind and the heart of thy poor, unworthy creatures, as thou didst descend on the sacred day of Pentecost, on the Holy Mother of Jesus, and on his disciples. Grant that we may participate in those gifts which thou didst communicate to them, so that wonderfully and with so much mercy and generosity, take from our hearts whatever is not pleasing to thee, and make of them worthy dwelling places for thyself. Illumine our minds, that we may see and understand the things that are for our eternal good. Inflame our hearts with pure love of thee, that we may be cleansed from the dross of all inordinate attachments, and that our whole lives may be hidden with Jesus in God. Strengthen our wills, that we may be made conformable to thy divine will, and be guided by thy holy inspirations. Aid us by thy grace to practice the divine lessons of humility, poverty, obedience, and contempt of the world, which Jesus taught us in his mortal life. O rend the heavens, and come down, consoling Spirit, that inspired and encouraged by thee, we may faithfully comply with the duties of our state of life, carry our daily crosses most patiently, and endeavor to accomplish the divine will with the utmost perfection. Spirit of love, Spirit of purity, Spirit of peace, sanctify our souls more and more, and give us that heavenly peace which the world cannot give. Bless our Holy Father, the Pope. Bless the Church. Bless our bishops, our priests, all religious orders, all marriages and families, and all the faithful, that they may be filled with the Spirit of Christ and labor earnestly for the spread of his kingdom. O Holy Spirit, thou giver of every good and perfect gift, grant us, we beseech thee, the intentions that we hold in our hearts. May thy will be done in us and through us. Mayest thou be praised and glorified forevermore. And the litany to the Holy Spirit, Lord, have mercy on us.
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 God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Divine Essence, one true God,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of truth and wisdom,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of holiness and justice,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of understanding and counsel,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of love and joy,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of peace and patience,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of longanimity and meekness,
have mercy on us.
Spirit of benignity and goodness,
have mercy on us.
Love substantial of the Father and the Son,
have mercy on us.
Love and life of saintly souls,
have mercy on us.
Fire ever burning,
have mercy on us.
Living water to quench the thirst of hearts,
have mercy on us.
From all evil, deliver us, Holy Spirit. From all impurity of soul and body,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From all gluttony and sensuality,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From all attachments to the things of the earth,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From all hypocrisy and pretense,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From all imperfections and deliberate faults,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From our own will,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From slander,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From deceiving our neighbors,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From our passions and disorderly appetites,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From our inattentiveness to thy holy inspirations,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From despising little things,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From debauchery and malice,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From love of comfort and luxury,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From wishing to seek or desire anything other than thee,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
From everything that displeases thee,
deliver us, Holy Spirit.
Most loving Father, forgive us. Divine Word, have pity on us. May Holy and Divine Spirit lead us not until we are in possession of the Divine Essence, Heaven of Heavens. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, send us the Divine Consoler. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, fill us with the gifts of thy Spirit. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, make the fruits of the Holy Spirit increase within us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth the Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant us by the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
All right. You think we should take a break, right? We're 18 minutes, and we don't keep usually to the schedule, but we're really a rather disobedient court, or not court.
Group.
There's a word for that. Whatever. Anyway, we're not obedient.
Right.
So. Obedient to God, let's hope, but...
To
poor Nick, not. Sorry, Nick. Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 AMD WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the Church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. It's TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, and we're moving into the feast of the Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church, and it brings an end to the Easter season, which is a very, very busy season. I was talking to the principal yesterday, and we had a meeting yesterday, the day before. I don't remember, but Wednesday. We have a meeting every Wednesday morning, and so much happening, you know, that it's like you're just going from one thing to the next, and so it's now things are starting to wrap up, but we have Pentecost, and then Holy Trinity, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, then Corpus Christi. Sunday, we're going to do just a procession outdoors in the grounds. And we haven't done a procession since the pandemic.
There's a procession on this Sunday, Father?
No.
No, Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi.
Oh, okay.
It's because you're going to be singing. Yeah. You and your dad.
I hope I could sing and walk at the same time.
Sing and walk.
I don't want to trip again.
You got to start thinking about that. We got to get Polish singers, too, you know? Or maybe you guys can do the Polish.
I have to learn.
Gotta
figure out
what
to work on my Polish.
You know, we're doing business on the radio here. But if you could, did you speak to Sophie?
I spoke with Sophie.
Okay. So if we can, I don't know, maybe get some of the Spanish choir to help out as well. Maybe talk to Fabiola and Oscar.
Yeah, and Oscar. Yeah.
And there's also the two choirs are good.
The Spanish choirs?
Yeah. Because I did, you know, anyway, so we'll work on that. We're doing business over the radio. This is. But
all the people are sitting there saying, okay,
what are you talking about?
What is this now?
What are they doing? Look at
you. Well, we're coming from the parish, right?
Garcia. She's working on the, you know, how she works on the draper, you know. You know what I'm talking about. She's a seamstress.
Oh, yeah. So she's preparing something?
She was preparing something.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at the show.
Back, sorry.
So we're coming to you from the parish of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, you know.
And in preparation for the feast days.
The radio is kind of like a little window into the life of a parish.
It is.
You know, so.
I bet most people don't understand the workings of a parish.
Yeah, the priest works on Sunday, and then he's got the rest of the week off.
He goes on golf.
He goes golfing. I never golfed in my. I took golfing in college, but I'm not a
golf.
It's hard.
I don't see what people get out of golfing, but I know it's very relaxing.
People are avid golfers.
Yeah.
And I'm not criticizing him, but I just, I just couldn't.
Just
it's
makes
hard.
Me
I do my rebounding. You know, I'm a rebounder.
Rebounder.
Which just means I do the trampoline. Which, by the way, you know, I just make a shout out to rebounding. But you know, when I was first diagnosed with cancer, you know, so I went through that 6 months of chemo and then chemotherapy, and then that failed, and I was a candidate for this experimental treatment, which I've been on ever since. Now we're in a transitional phase as they're trying to. Because I've done really, really, really well. And I'm not going to go into my whole history. It's been 7 years. I can't believe it. But
meanwhile, back at the show.
Meanwhile, back. one of the things that I, as I was, you know, after I was diagnosed, I wanted to see what can I do to, you know, help heal the body or survive. I just wasn't quite ready to say goodbye. You know, I wasn't ready to check out. And one of the things that, aside from, you know, you got to eat properly and all that, but I'm not too picky about what I eat. I mean, but I did find that, because I've always been an avid exerciser, because I need it just to keep, exercise and prayer is what keeps me going morning to night. And, doing some looking into this, and I found this exercise, and this was from a former a cancer patient who, Chris Wark, I think his name is, but he described this exercise, which detoxes the body, because what it does is it moves the lymphatic fluids, which are by nature detox, the fluids that detox the body, but they don't. It's like your blood is constantly circulating. Now, I'm not a doctor. Know much about the inner workings of the body, but supposedly your blood is constantly circulating, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But the lymphatic fluids do not. You know, you have to exercise to move those lymphatic fluids, which detox the body. But rebounding is just a little trampoline. And you have to really invest. So, I mean, when I started with a cheap one, and that was pretty bad on the joints. So you really have to, it's an investment. It's about $400 to $500 to get a really good rebounder. But I did it because I was reading all the benefits of rebounding. And it's just trampoline. It's just jumping up and down.
But that kind of makes sense, because even with exercise, you're moving the body. They say if you're just stationary and you don't move,
Gotta move.
Yeah, as we're moving, we're making those fluids.
Right,
yeah.
That's right.
You know, so that's good. But this is probably another way of
jump-starting. Well, what NASA did a study on this. So the astronauts, when they would come back from space, it would lose
bone
density.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what rebounding does is it rebuilds quickly your bone density, and it strengthens the bones, but it also keeps aligned your tendons and all that stuff. And moves the lymphatic fluids.
Mm-hmm. That's
and so great. I've been doing that. I do 45 minutes in the morning. That's the first thing I do. Is this week I've done it every. You know, I try to do it 5 times a week. So Monday to Friday, I'll start out 45 minutes on the rebounding, listening to the radio. That's how. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I do my holy hour today, because we had the ribbon ceremony. I rebounded after.
Afterwards.
After the ceremony, because because it really does we'll read up on it. It's called rebounding. Yeah, rebounding. You can read up on all the benefits.
It aligns your whole body, and then exercise. It also helps you to stay. Also, your mind. Everything, you get rid of all the toxins, and it keeps you agile, because if you don't exercise, you stiffen up. I mean, believe me, I know.
We all know that, right? Yeah. And the older we get, the more, you know.
And then you spend 5 minutes with a very toxic person, and it all goes out of you.
Oh, that's true, too, yeah.
It's true, Tony, too. To bring the... No, black cloud on everything.
No, well, life is stressful, you know, and the parish is a very stressful place. But having said that, it's supposed to be better than running.
Yeah.
It's not bad on the joints. That's why, you know, for older people, for us senior citizens,
get to jump around, which is cool.
Jump, I like it actually. Yeah. I used to, when I was really a small kid, I used to like to swing. I loved because I'd swing and I would think and pray, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. As a child, I prayed a lot. I would go for walks and I'd pray. And, I remember in Colorado, as before I was even in school, we had a swing set, and I used to love to swing, and just, we had the mountain, Pikes Peak, you could see it from where we lived, and I remember And then you could see the car. I just for some reason, I'd get mesmerized, and I could go for an hour just on the swing, just swinging. And rebounding is a little bit like that. And what you find, you know, when you mm-hmm. when you start, is you don't have your balance, because you gotta mm-hmm. at first it's a little bit hard. Cool. What you do is and that's where we talk about aligning the mm-hmm. you know, realigning the body,
yes,
so that you gain balance. Mm-hmm. And so now I can just I've never fallen off, knock on wood. God, please don't.
Do you ever kind of bounce so high that you bounce off the thing and hit the ceiling or something?
No, it's just
does it have a handle, Father?
Yeah, for you could have it. I don't have a handle.
What about big boned fellows? Is it good for them?
Sure. Well, you've got the different cords depending on your weight.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I can't do it.
You could do it.
Probably could.
Yeah. But but for older, you know, it's because it does build bone density, so that if you're fragile, you got fragile bones, or
especially for women who suffer from osteoporosis.
Exactly. Yeah. Then they do have you can get a handle.
You feel safe. My father does the rebounding.
Does he do it?
He says he could feel the difference.
Completely.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when you're done, you're not really tired.
It gives you energy. No, that's what my
sure.
dad said. But it does feel weird. Exercise. I remember as a child, we used to jump on the trampoline, and when we get off and start walk, it felt.
It's fun. Yeah,
it's a funny feeling.
It is. Even after every time I do that, it's. But it's also it's good for your joints and all that.
Yeah.
It's for old people, you know, as you're getting older. But it's just getting into it, starting it, and in the beginning, it's like you're going to fall off. But you
sort of start getting used to it.
Yeah, and it just comes naturally. So
walking that tightrope.
Yeah,
that's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah,
you just got to know which way so you don't.
So
fall.
You know, when you think about it, you know, I used to even do jump rope. You know, mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of different things, and I'd go up in the attic and I would jump rope. But you're jumping on concrete.
Yeah,
and you know, think of the impact that is on your joints. Walking is a great exercise. Swimming's one of the best exercises.
The best.
Rebounding, if you read the benefits, and I'm a firm believer in this. It's a great exercise. Body squats are very important for maintaining balance, because it strengthens,
knees.
You know, your lower body, you know, so it's. I used to go to a gym, and so if I was on a treadmill or on the elliptical or whatever, that was one thing. And then one summer, I decided, you know, I'm gonna why be cooped up in a gym?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to go at 5 a.m. I haven't done that for years. That was, do you remember? That was
yeah,
way
I remember
back when.
I used to go, yeah.
Then they kept putting the price up, and I couldn't afford it. It was beyond my price range.
It always goes.
And because the gym kept switching. It was like mm-hmm. Gold's Gym, then it was Riverside Gym or something,
yeah,
Riverfront Gym.
Names.
Then it became Bally's, and then something else. And
oh, it's Orange Theory or
whatever. I have. So
it's all gone.
But one summer I thought, you know, why be cooped up inside a gym? I'm going to go and I'm going to jog outside. Well, that summer was not good, because it really does. You can feel the difference when you're not on a treadmill or. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great. I think jogging outdoors is great, but it does. Unless you've got the proper shoes
mm-hmm.
and you've got a soft
ground, because the concrete
ground.
Is not.
And I was on
bad.
The concrete on
yeah.
the asphalt and all that, and probably didn't have the proper shoes. And it, I have to say that it really did. Your ankles and your knees really.
That's why they have damage. The running trails now. It's not concrete. It's
not
something
concrete.
Else that's more appropriate.
Yeah,
for running.
Anyway,
and
so,
this was your joint minute with Father Tony.
Exercise,
health.
But I do encourage people, because I do think
yes,
you know health
important.
Is important.
Yeah,
I think it's
is.
You know the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. You know the whole holistic health, right? To be holy is holistic.
Everything's connected.
Everything's connected.
But like you said, Father, that you have to invest on a good trampoline.
You got to get
because you. I've seen videos or I saw somebody jumping and the thing just ripped.
I bought when I first read about it, I went and I got a $30 trampoline. It was just
oh my god,
bad,
that's
bad,
terrible.
Bad. But did your dad, did he get the Bellicone?
I don't know what he said.
Did he invest in it?
You know what? I never asked him. He just says, oh, I'm jumping on this real trampoline. But he had talked to you.
I guess it was your father.
It was my father. You spoke with him.
So the company that's listening, Father Tony, is Bellicone. Recommending.
Well, Bellicone, because it's here in Chicago. Right under the tracks, right over there on Lake Street.
A total little kickback this way. Yeah. You know.
It's made in Germany, and it's an investment.
It's an investment for the health. Yeah.
And then, of course, you got to every so often replace the
springs or what?
It's not springs; they're bungee cords.
Everything's
because they pop. You know,
if you need any of your questions asked, Father Tony's here usually on a Sunday, right? All day Sunday.
Exactly.
Just come on in.
Well, I just got off the. I finished the rebounding, and then I did an hour of prayer. Yeah. At 11 o'clock, so I got up early, 6 o'clock, got ready. I did an hour of prayer, and I didn't want access because I know we had 8:30. We had the ribbon ceremony, and that took some time. And then after that, then I exercised, and I went back at 11 o'clock. By that point, to pray and kind of prepare for the radio to talk a little bit about rebounding. You know, so
this is how an angry priest gets through his day.
Right. I tell you, it makes a big difference.
And you know what? And it's also discipline, apart from it's discipline.
Well, see, we have a natural aversion for discipline. That's why I tell people all the time, remember, because it was, I would say, one of the wisest things ever spoken to me that I've always held on to, always lived by, and I tell people this all the time. What you do today will determine who you are 10 years from now. Yeah. And so, you know,
so true.
Eat properly, exercise, pray. I'm hoping that you know, all the wine that I drink is good for me.
Well, that's good for the heart and the blood. You know, the circulation of the blood.
It is so hard to have for me to. I think Italy did that to me. You know, because it's very hard to have a meal without wine and red wine.
I only blame it on Italy.
Only drink red wine. Yeah,
it's the best.
Yeah, but I you know, anyway. So let's switch gears now and into the fire of the Spirit. You know, so we get we have the vigil of Pentecost, and of course the day of Pentecost, the vigil begins, of course, on the vigil Saturday tomorrow. Hard to believe. Wow,
tomorrow's Saturday.
But the readings are different, and they're really beautiful because on the vigil of Pentecost, what the Church does in the liturgies. And she calls to mind the example of the apostles and disciples who, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, persevered in prayer, awaiting the Spirit promised by the Lord. And this is where we get the novena, because it's 9 days from the time of the Ascension to Pentecost. And so they spend those 9 days in the cenacle where Jesus had celebrated the Last Supper, instituted the Holy Eucharist, and it's there that they prayed with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Very important, I think, for those who have no devotion to or don't believe that we should, you know, be in the company of Our Lady in prayer, that she prays for us, we pray with her. But she, that's right out of the Acts of the Apostles. They persevered in prayer with the Mother of God, awaiting the Spirit promised by the Lord. And also in her prayer, in the Church's prayer, the Church petitions Almighty God for the grace to remain a holy people formed as one by the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's this in her prayers, in the liturgy, in the Holy Mass, she petitions God for the grace to remain a holy people. Remember, we're a church in battle, so we're the militant church. The church asks for the grace to safeguard the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is the Holy Eucharist. That's the center of our prayer, the highest act of prayer. That's the perpetuation of the Messianic hour. The Church recalls the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The Church recalls, because we've been, through the His suffering, death, and resurrection, we've been set free from our slavery to sin and death, yet we're still sinners. We have yet to die, and so that Messianic hour, that redemptive death is perpetuated, is represented mystically, but really on the altar, a sacrifice, which brings us to the banquet of the Lamb, so that we have communion with God. So in on the vigil, the church is asking for the grace to safeguard, protect the sacrament of God's holiness and unity, which is a Holy Eucharist. The church recalls how, again, it's you got to remember, you know, the church, her life, we often say 2,000 years from Pentecost, but we got to go back to the covenant that was made with Abraham, because that's all part of our, you know, we have no identity apart from what preceded Jesus, all the way back to the covenant that was made with Abraham. And really, it goes back to the very beginning. But the church recalls how God, who in fire and lightning gave the ancient law to Moses on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. And so just so you know, the Jews celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments on the Feast of Pentecost. That's the day when they celebrate as the day when God gave them the ancient law, the Ten Commandments, which have not been abrogated. In fact, Jesus says, I take none of this away. These commandments are binding on all people for all time. It was on the feast of this, it was on this feast that the new covenant, universal and eternal, was manifested in the fire of the Spirit. The church prays that we, the members of his body, always be aflame with the same Spirit poured out on the apostles. The church recalls how God throughout history restores what has fallen and preserves what he restores. The implication again there is that we're in a spiritual battle and we have to be astute, we have to keep watch. Don't be duped, be astute. Those have been kind of my words the last few Sundays now. Don't be duped, but be astute. So St. Paul said to the priest just the other day, keep watch. Because you need to know the wolves are coming from without as well as from within to divide and destroy. So the church recalls how God throughout history restores what has fallen, preserves what he restores. She asks that God send the Holy Spirit that we increase and be renewed by the sanctification of his name, which is very interesting when you think about the fact that we're actually in decrease, we're in decline, major decline. Rapid decline, which beggars a question. Are we? And as I spoke to a young man yesterday, it was a fantastic 2 hours I spent with him. Had a meeting with him, and this is what really keeps me hopeful: is these young people that are coming to faith, in spite of all the stuff that's going on, all the bad stuff, what gives? One of three things. As we were talking, either we are in because we are going to the great apostasy, which is a sign of the end times, the going away from the faith. And Jesus says, "When he come, will he find faith, or are there hearts that are gone cold?" And so, either we're for a wide variety of reasons, we wonder: are we in these apocalyptic times, the end times, or the absurdity? The ludicrous stuff that's going on, what's been in the dark has come into the light. Will there be a collective reawakening? And you can begin to see that people say, what's going on? We use the example of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The Dodgers are going to honor the transgender queer. Just a complete mockery, complete desecration of... I was reading some more on that. What they do pole dance on a crucifix.
That's just horrible.
They drink in a chalice yogurt as a symbol of drinking. Some I'm not going to even mention.
Yeah, it's sickening.
It's the stuff. And yet you got the likes of a James Martin who are defending this. Can you believe this? And even some sisters, radical feminist sisters, who are defending their being honored. It's not a get.
You know what I mean? You just say to yourself, how can people not see how diabolical this
is. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But see that the diabolical has infiltrated the church.
That's what you have to walk away with.
And this is where one, and even in talking to this young guy, you know, they, so it's either we come to this, or either we collectively awaken to the fact that this is beyond. Again, I say when marriage was redefined, that was a Pandora's box.
Yeah.
That opened, and so you can't, the letters of the alphabet continue to be LGBT, whatever. But it's a fact, and it's in your face. It's in your face. And it's a mockery of God. It's a mockery of marriage, a mockery of the family, a mockery of consecrated life, the priesthood, even the abuse of children by priests. That is so diabolical. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you lead the innocent astray. Better that a millstone be put around your neck and be thrown in the sea and drowned. But it's a systemic problem everywhere in the world. So the church is asking for this to be restored. She asks that God send the Spirit that we increase. I mentioned that, and be renewed, but we're actually in decrease. The church asks for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that walking in oneness of faith, and yet we're so divided today, we may attain in our flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection. We look forward in confident hope to the fullness of life. And then finally, the church asks God to fulfill his gracious promise that by the coming of the Holy Spirit, we become witnesses before the world to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. I'm extrapolating from the prayers of the liturgy on the vigil. And it's really quite disturbing in many ways how the church seemingly has become so horizontal, so humanistic, that the transcendence, the mysticism, which is really the church infused with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to bring us beyond a pure or mere humanistic approach to life to a God-centered approach to life, which brings us into properly treat each other in because the goal is it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So anyway, the feast day, Pentecost, is the birthday of the church, which brings to completion the season of Easter. On this feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the mystical body of Christ, the family of God. In that body and in that family, there's a great multitude which no one can count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They are in heaven and on earth. Those in heaven have survived the trials and tribulations of this world. They intercede on behalf of us all. And as St. Paul writes, let's take a break, Nick. We'll come back then. We'll come back and I'll go into St. Paul. But again, remember, when we speak of the church, the mystical body of Christ, we're talking about the church militant in the battle, the church suffering, souls in purgatory, and the church triumphant, the communion of saints who already enjoy the beatific vision, who intercede on behalf of us as we make our way through this life to the next, guided by and infused with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI, Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
Welcome back, Father Anthony, on Winds of Change with Tony, Christina, and Nick, TNTC. Listen, so I was speaking of these three possibilities that were either in these apocalyptic times, when you just consider the sophistication of technology, the smallness of the world, the fact that we have the power to annihilate all nations. If there's not a conversion, a metanoia, a change of heart, a turning back to God, you know, God just leave us to our own design, and we destroy ourselves. So that we're in these apocalyptic times. It's okay to ask a question. We certainly go into a great apostasy, or that there will be, as I said, this collective awakening. That we can't let this happen. You know, there are enough people of faith with common sense, right reason, that rather than be canceled or shouted into silence, are going to stand up and fight and say, no, this is enough is enough. We're not hateful people. We are not violent people. We have an obligation to submit and surrender our lives to the Lord and to live by His commandments. Or God will manifest Himself and bring us to our knees. And that would be called chastisement or punishment. Now, people are in the church are going to say, you can't say chastisement because God wouldn't do that. Well, you know, what scripture are you reading from? Mm-hmm. What good parent, if a parent sees a child, their children going down a wrong path, doesn't reprimand, chastise, or punish a child in order to save that child, you know? So this superficial, shallow reading of Scripture or even not reading Scripture, who knows? It's going to be one of the three, I think. But going back to the Spirit, we're just about out of time here. As St. Paul writes, those led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. We did not receive it. And be careful how you use the word spirit, because this is the other thing, too. People are saying, you know, that, well, we got to let the Spirit. Oh, who was it? I was reading something, and this came out of the Vatican. I'm a devoted Catholic, and I have utmost regard for the office of the papacy. We don't have the church without Peter. But there's some of the stuff that's coming out. I forgot what exactly it was. This isn't the Spirit of God. I guess it would be in reference to, if you're talking about a God who will chastise or punish, then you're not following the Spirit of God. In defense of all these things that are really more in keeping with the New World Order or one world religion, which is an infiltration of a spirit that is not the spirit of God, not the spirit of God. So we have to really discern the spirits. Where the spirit is, there is fruit. Where's the fruit? Yeah, there's pockets, little anoweems, little flock here and there, beautiful things happening. But when you think of the death of religious, the dying of religious communities, the plummeting of vocations to the priesthood, the disorder, the divisions within the church, you know, is this a work of the Spirit? You know, if we want a new face of the church, if it's a holy church, let it be, absolutely. But if it's appeasing, compromising, conforming to the world in order to gain respect, it's on the opposite. We are deemed irrelevant and lose all respect. We must stand for something, and that something is what we read in sacred scripture and what's been handed down to us in the apostolic tradition and through the magisterium of the church. St. Paul says, those led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. We didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we've received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. Again, we're part of the family of God, adopted. God the Father so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world, to adopt us, so we would call him Abba, Father, and call Mary our mother. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Even as I was speaking to the young man yesterday, it was the struggles. I said, but look at the lives of the saints. St. John of the Cross was imprisoned by his own community because he wanted to reform the community. St. Teresa of Avila, what she suffered. Mother Teresa Dujic, what she suffered, you know, a contemporary, one who is a venerable, who started right here at St. Stan's. In the Holy Mass, we renew our yes to the Lord to suffer with him. What does it mean to suffer with Jesus? It means to fulfill the will of the Father, emulating Jesus who offered his life in a love that was sacrificial. It means we keep the commandments, we fulfill our responsibilities as Christians. In these days of intense anxiety, we're inundated with entirely too much information, too much noise. We should do well to quiet ourselves, open ourselves to the Holy Spirit who comes to us in a whisper, purging us of immorality, idolatry, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, and the like. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is sacrificial love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. The intensity of the struggle against the spirit of the world brings us to say with St. Paul, and I love this, we know that all creation is groaning and in labor pains, and not only that, but we ourselves who have the first spirits, fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we await the redemption of our bodies. Even with regard to prayer, we take solace in the words of St. Paul, who reminds us, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness. For, listen to this, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with inexpressible groaning. I love that. Interceding for the holy ones according to God's will. And therefore, it's just no wonder, as we even come to the end of May, that the rosary is a favored prayer of Catholics. Like the apostles with the rosary, we enter the cenacle in the company of the Holy Mother of God. As she prayed with them and for them, she prays with us and for us. And so, O Spouse of the Holy Spirit, Mary Most Holy, pray for us who have recourse to thee, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and enkindle in us the fire of God's love. Okay, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you, child.